Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome. Good morning. This is Dr. Cappuccino. And this week, in fact, next week as well, we have been celebrating master musicians and the women they honor. That's a very likely topic because all over the world, July is International Women's Month, a Croatian Women's Month, women in Switzerland, women in America, and we are so happy to have back by popular demand an absolutely wonderful man, Derek Jordan. Many of you have requested him to come back and visit with us, and we're very happy because we know that black music creators have been a driving force in our community, and we're committed to continue to amplify their voices. Derek Jordan is one of those voices, and he speaks for the creation of musicians before our time and even now. And this is why it is so interesting when you have creative musicians that we call master musicians taking the time to talk about women and how they have helped shape some of the music that they have actually written and produced and performed. And it is so timely right now because Mr. Derek Jordan has an 88-year-old mother. So we want to hear how she influenced him. But now let me jump over here and tell you who else we're going to be blessed to hear from. Jesse James Wall. He's also a saxophonist, and I mean from the age of 17, he's played a horn in various bands, and I believe, and I've done my research about this young man from the 90s. He's a new millennial. He has worked for various music venues as an independent contractor. And I'm going to say he is Derek Jordan's right-hand man. He's marvelous. Like I said, I've done my homework. But now I want to turn this over to our show content because Derek Jordan is someone that my heart was touched by. We produce 3,000 events and shows per month. And when I came across Derek, I was very impressed over the business connections that this man has and really the fact that from the age of 13, he has started a career in music as the trumpet player for various musical groups, starting from high school on. He has been in, I can't really tell it all. It'll take up all of our show time about his Motown connection and how he has, from high school on, been really the number one as far as the instruments that he has been blessed to learn how to play. This is a man that sings. He plays the trumpet. He's a keyboardist. He plays the guitar. But most of all, he has made up in his heart and soul that he is going to give back of himself to humanity because, you know, the old saying, music makes the world go around. And certainly, he definitely has our attention, and he also has our blessing on his work. Derek Jordan, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino, and thank you for having me on your program today.
You are very welcome. You really are more than a master musician, but I think the listening audience would like to know exactly how did you get your start in the field of music? And I know right now you are a nurse by day, or is it the graveyard shift? I'm not sure. But you are a nurse by day, but you're spending your time giving back to the world in the form of music with your partner, Jesse James Wall. How did you know from a young age that you wanted to go into the field of music?
Wow, let me take you all the way back to about 3 years old.
All the way back.
My mom, she would play tricks. Well, she called it a trick. What she would do is she would grab, you know, the old 45s we used to play. You know, the young generation, they don't know anything about that. But
yes,
back then we were playing 45s. We were playing the 45s, and at about 3 years old, my mom, she would grab records, and she would shuffle them like a deck of cards, and she would ask me what were the titles of the songs. And she, after a while, and I would get it right every time. She couldn't believe it. At first she thought, oh, he's just funny. So let me guess, maybe memorize the labels or something. But I would get the name of the song and the artist every single time. And it started at three. Let's fast forward to about the age of 7 or 8 years old. My aunt had a piano, and she worked two jobs. She worked in a donut shop, and she worked at the local high school. And what she would do is I would come over and visit her when she got off her shift, and then they had a piano in the living room. And she didn't care what I sound like. She let me play that piano till I got tired. She must have had the patience of Job, because I know I didn't sound that good back then. But she just let me pluck away. And that was my biggest influence. But after that, we can fast forward to my early teens. My mom and my dad, they were my rock. They were my inspiration. Forget about boot camp and the Marines. That was my boot camp, my mom and dad. But they were very fair parents. They did not ask more of me than what I was able to do. And they saw something different in me versus my brothers and my sisters. They saw that I could be better than them. As far as talent-wise, they saw the talent in me before I did. Mm-hmm. And they encouraged that. And so I just excelled. And then I had a brother who was the brother of brothers, my oldest brother. His name was Sherwin. He got me started. So by the time I took my first lesson in band, I already knew how to play the major scale on my instrument.
That is a wonderful thing to hear, because many people can't say that as a musician.
Mm-hmm. So he kind of jump-started my career, and so I was always ahead of people in my age group because of that influence from my brother.
So now let me ask you this, and I think the audience would like to hear your answer. Are you saying that in order for anyone to excel in not only music but other areas too, that number one, they have to have parents that believe in them, and that number two, they also have to have a environment that will be conducive to them becoming anything in this world?
Absolutely. It does not hurt your chances one bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm reading your paperwork here, and it's saying that you are the president and CEO of Jordan Wall Productions. What is that production company about?
It's about advertising and marketing our music through various social media campaigns, which I have help of my partner and I, we have become pretty – I put it like this. People – In the social media industry, they know who we are because we're out there. We're out there on various venues. We're out there on N1M. We're out there on Reverb Nation, Pandora.
Right, I saw that. Yes, indeed.
Amazon, SoundCloud, Spotify. We're out there, and these are through. Let me just back up for a minute. I did not, I'll put it like this. 2 years ago, I didn't know a thing about marketing promotions, but we had somebody in our group that did, who recently passed in January of 2021. His name was Brad Skinner, but we used to call him Skip. And he was the business side of Jordan Wild Productions. Right. It was going to be Jordan Skinner Wild Productions, but he passed away suddenly from a heart attack, and I had to take over everything. And the moment he passed away, we went through a period of mourning and grief. But that same week that we normally get together, I was determined that we were going to do something significant. We couldn't just stop and mourn his loss. We wanted to celebrate his life. So we started, we just started working on new material right away, right after. And that was one of the most extremely hard things that I had to do in my life is to pick up those pieces after someone near to you dies. It's the hardest thing.
Oh, yes, I can imagine. Mm-hmm.
So we started doing that, and then after that, I said, I looked at my partner, and I said, you know what, Jay? That's what I call Jesse. That's his nickname, Jay. And he calls me DJ. So I said, Jay, if this project, it's up to me to make this project succeed. If we fail, it's my fault. And he looked at me and said, no, it ain't me. I said, no. If I don't show some initiative, take the ball and run with it, we are not going to succeed. After all, I am the band now. We lost our drummer. I'm playing everything else.
Well, let me stretch out here and mention a little more about your partner, Jesse James Wall. I just love, you know what? Hey, Jesse, you know, I just love it. But now, with your partner also playing in major venues and as your sideman soloist, are we saying that Jesse James also plays a lot of instruments? He's also a singer besides a sideman. I mean, let's talk about your partner. Jesse, are you on the line?
I certainly am. Good morning, Dr. Carpentino. How are you?
I'm doing just fine now that I can hear the one that is behind smooth jazz, funk, Latin jazz, and all of the projects. How did you and Derek hook up?
Well, I'll tell you, we have to go back a ways. Derek found me in a jazz group in high school, and I was playing with the jazz group in high school, and he came to the high school and asked my instructor, he said, who's the best horn player you got? And my instructor, the instructor pointed to me. And so I got together with Derek when I was 17 years old, and he was in a outstanding band to the point where I wasn't really sure I could do the music that they were playing at the time. And he said, don't even worry about it, Jay. And from that point on, he worked with me endlessly, day, night. We had so many great, great different action between us. And what we did was, from 17 to right now, we have been together musically on and off for the last 40 years, you know, and it's been...
Now, you know what, many of these musicians did not stay together that long.
I want to go back for a minute because they're reminding me of the story that we were rehearsing, and we rehearsed so much when I was like 18, that I literally fell asleep on his bed with my saxophone in my mouth. And he woke up.
Wow, yes. A true musician.
And, yes, and when I woke up and found the saxophone in my mouth, he was looking at me and said, Jay, I think you're ready right now. From that point on, I was absolutely ready to go, you know. So once we were in Saginaw, I'm originally from California. It was about a week and a half before I left Saginaw. I told Derek, I'm going to California. You want to go? and he only had a week.
3 days.
3 days to make up his mind. And he said, yeah, I'm going. And so he came back from Saginaw back to California.
With $82 in my pocket.
Yeah, with $82.
Oh, bless you guys. Since you mentioned that, I've listened to some of the material from Derek, and I may be wrong, but it appears to me that there's a spiritual undercurrent of the music.
Absolutely.
That I heard, and I was saying, are these God men or what? I hear that, and I wanted to know, Is that true? Are you guys religious people? I think I know Derek is from some of the things that he has sent, and I've had an opportunity to read. But how much does religion or faith or spirituality play into your music?
It has everything to do with it.
Absolutely.
We could not be who we are. It's what God allows us to be, and he gives us a chance. He gives us a choice to choose between his way or the highway, so to speak. But go ahead, Jay.
Without God, we would have never been able to make it through skips, all of a sudden passing. We have always believed in God and the faith in God and the trust in God. A little history about my family. My great-grandfather was a preacher, and also my grandfather, and then my dad became a preacher later in age after
there
being an educator. Yeah, So I've been with God ever since I was in my mom's stomach.
Well, is this how you guys are, one of you with $82 in your pocket, could trust the God to get from one point of our nation to another with only $82? Did you have a place to stay when you got here, or was that already planned?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was my family that came back. So Derek stayed with us when we first got here. And that was only for like a couple of months before he found his way and
got a job.
He, didn't have no car, but we definitely continued on. And when I got a car, I'd take him to work, and sometimes he'd take the bus. But he's never had to worry about staying, having a place to stay at all. So when he first got here, he was well taken care of, and the rest is an exciting history.
Yeah.
It surely sounds like it. But now, in your walk in this field of music, with all that you guys do, I mean, I'm just still so impressed on the bios that I received and the information on you. Let's kind of bring it up a notch here. Young men and now women too are really struggling in the music field. Many have gotten in, they claim, I'm going to be the next Jay-Z, I'm going to be the next whomsoever, that are music giants on both sides of the fence, color, you name it. Is there really a chance, let's start here 2022, for these young people to really break into music and make it? And when I say make it, that means reaching for their stars, things that they want to say through their music, opportunities that might not have been open, let's say, 50 years ago to the average black musician. Maybe he had to go on a corner, sit on a chicken coop and start playing rather than have an actual venue with a paid clientele coming in. What is the future of the young black musician of today, seeing where we're at with our young black men? Many say they have turned to dope, drugs, and everything else as a way to affect their music. What is you guys' take on that?
Well, actually, I think it's they have all the advantage in the world because the internet now reaches everybody. So you have an opportunity now to lay your tracks, lay your music, and put it on the internet like we're on N1M, Spotify, all these different sites so people could hear you. The most important thing to me is once you get your music together and you get it locked in, the best thing for you to do is get on the internet and let people hear you. Get on these different websites and let people hear you.
Yeah, and Dr. Capitino, you had mentioned something about how spirituality plays a role in the music and how you can feel our spirit in our music. Mm-hmm. It's
very important to be passionate
about what you do because a man perishes without a dream.
That's it. Right. That's right. That's what the Bible says.
Yes. Now, yes. So we're very passionate about what we do.
Well, now, on that same vein, where are the mentors of the would-be young musician? And, you know, you started off at 3 and then, you know, 7 years old, something else happened. And I'm sure Jesse James, he mentioned 17, 18, but this was all already in him, within him from a spiritual standpoint. And spirit is music. Music is spirit. So where are the mentors? Are any mentors now really interested in reaching back? I've been watching for those type of programs. I don't see many. What is the story behind the mentorship of young upcoming musicians?
Yeah, I don't see many either. But I can honestly say that I had some pretty good mentors. My junior high school band teacher, he was no nonsense. You come in there to play your instrument, and it wasn't about joking. And he would let you know whether you were going to be a part of his band or not. And it took all of less than a day for him to find that out. I saw him kick a lot of people.
Really?
The band that were not serious. They come in there to play. Come in there to get girlfriends. Well, every single one in the room wanted to play drums. Everybody can't play drums. So you had to get straight A's to even be considered a candidate to play the drums. So I went through some really good mentors.
And I even
wanted to play drums, but I was, I wasn't getting straight A's back then. That came later.
You know what? And I hear that through your heart. You know what? And that reminds me of one of my sons. I have two daughters, two sons. And one of my sons, when they were very small, I would say maybe around 5, 7, 9, and 12, at that early age, I watched them learn music and how to play instruments. But I started them out very young, and my baby son, who decided he wanted to be an LAPD cop, he started playing the drums, and I have pictures of them in their baby pajamas of them, actual pictures all these years of them playing. One was on the drums, one was on the guitar, and my other daughter was on the piano. She had her first piano recital at the age of 4 at El Camino College, and I could just go on, but I'm saying that at that early age, I had to get them mentors. You know, I sung, but, you know, I wasn't really, you know, this big classical musical teacher that I dreamed that I was going to be. But I knew I had to get some mentors for these young people. And you're right. It was the Eubanks Music Conservatory on Crenshaw. You might still remember that because anybody wanted to do anything in L.A. that was black, they went to Eubanks. And it was a husband and wife that was running, and I think it was like on 38th and Crenshaw, but I would take all of them and sleep in my car, rest in the car while I could hear them playing. And, of course, being chastised about, you know, hitting the wrong key and this and that. But
you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah, right. The mentors were there, and my son on the drums rose to be the major drum something for MiraCosta High School in Manhattan Beach. I also sent them to the schools that I knew actually had good musical programs. And at one time he said, "Mama, they're all white over there. You sure you want me?" I said, "That's where you're going." And he went over there, and that whole city there, Manhattan Beach, that was in earshot of MiraCosta, when that boy played, people would just drive over there just to hear that. I mean, just stunning, and I have pictures, and yeah, I'm still proud of that. But you are right. Many cannot play the drums, you know, that dexterity and just, you know, the mind over matter principle. But he actually did. Now, with this thing, and I'm going to stick here for a moment because we have the time, what can we do to encourage some of these older, more mature musicians to step out of their comfort spaces, stop running to Bank America three times a day, and look over their shoulder to go into the schools? You know, I know Dr. Dre just, well, it wasn't Jeff, but I think a year ago he opened up some big music conservatory over in the city of Compton. And I forgot how many millions he put into that. But that was the first there. But I'm still not hearing any greatness coming out of that. What can those musicians, those seasoned, very wealthy black musicians, and I keep saying black because we tend to have our black young men and women waiting in the wings for somebody to stretch out their hand. But what can they do to stop, look, and listen to the voices of those three years old? I think two, when I started mine, and I know the one on piano, she was four. What can they do, since music makes the world go around, to help, especially in a time such as this?
Well, interesting question. I would start, you know, let's get back to the internet and advertising and marketing. I would go through neighborhood newsletters. Neighborhood newsletters are an excellent and cheap way to get your message out to the people who live near you. Ask around and make sure you make deadlines or whatever they may be. Posters, you can plaster your posters in as many places as you can, but always ask permission to hang them first.
Yes,
good locations are schools,
or you'll be seeing
malls.
Me.
good locations are schools, malls, post office, restaurants, churches, community bulletin boards, daycares, facilities where mothers' groups are held. Getting back to the women.
Okay. Now, while I'm on this mentorship thing, you know, someone sitting here with me is saying, ask them about the will of the young would-be musician. Many are them, since they feel they haven't got a break, they will never be the Jay-Z, and I keep mentioning them because, you know, they got this, oh, you know, all this money and power. They're saying that with these young people, many have turned to drugs and alcohol and other outlets when it was a time when music, even if it was beating on a tin can or something, they made themselves available to let the neighborhood and anywhere else see that they were really trying to break into the world of music. Now they have broken into the world of drugs and alcohol. Is that something that you guys understand to be going on?
Oh, it's been going on since these black exploitation movies of the 70s, where they came in with Superfly, the Mac, and they introduced heroin into the black community. Blacks didn't know anything about heroin until those movies came out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an interesting statement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
you know
now,
why? Because I lived through it.
Well, yeah. Now, let's step back here. Where and who introduced that into the black community? Can we say, you know, I'm not prejudiced or anything, but
no.
Many are saying that the white man is responsible. Okay. Is that true?
We have to walk a fine line on that because we try not to be too controversial, but at the same time, controversy. You can't get any attention without some controversy. We get that too.
Right.
I can say is whoever is supplying drugs to wherever they're going, they're the ones that are responsible.
Right.
Okay, I got you. So what you're really saying is that the young would-be, could-be, wanna-be black musician, black student of the art of music. It is up to him and him alone with mentors to press forward in spite of. Is that what you're saying? Don't give up.
The presence of God has to be in their lives one way or another.
Well, you know, now, okay, we're going to step back there. What about 42 churches that have closed within the last 2 years, 42,000 rather? That was a place where many of our greats, Otis Redding, Sam Cooke, you know, we could go all the way back there. They got their start in the church. As a budding musician, and they started in a choir, then they went to solo, then they broke out, and hey, we know those stories. Can we say that with the lack of churches, and I'm just using that this as an example, with the lack of churches, is there still that kind of opportunity out there? And if so, where would it start if the churches are not in existence in many of these places like Detroit, Alabama, Georgia? How do you guys feel about that?
Well, it has to start with the community. Let your family, friends, and neighbors know that you are looking and find out what they're looking for and what motivates them and just be a ever presence for people who need whatever support you can give them.
Well, how do you guys stay strong knowing a lot of the missteps in music for blacks at this time? You got a lot of black groups out there. You got every time I get on my computer starts searching that genre, you have a lot out there, but they don't seem to be getting the hand up. They don't seem to, like someone was telling me, you know, in order to break in these days, they've got to have money for mixing and studio time and rehearsal space. When all of that, 25, 30 years ago, it was created from within. Those that knew they had that God-given talent, they went forward with it. But what about today?
Well, there's different genres you can go to. For example, renting a studio. Studio time is really reasonable when you look at the time frame. If you go into a musical studio and they want to charge you maybe $100 for an hour, all you have to make sure that everything that you have is ready to go at that time. And that's basically how this new generation has been operating. They get their music, they get it locked down, and then they'll go into a studio, pay that little $100 or so for an hour, and you got geniuses around them that they can help them with the music, with their
with their ideas, with their musical creativity expressed through their musical ideas.
Correct.
Okay. I heard that, but now I want to stretch over to what our topic is about. You guys, it's what we know and hear, and we have the bio here to prove it, that you're master musicians. You put that time in. But what about women? Women are now breaking in more so than ever before into the area of music. I was watching a commercial where a young lady was saying, you know, she's giving voice to other women in the area of music, and she had one on a guitar, one on the drums, all female. Where do you see the women of today in music? You know, they've gotten awards. You know, we can go to Dolly Parton and look at in her background, her life. We could look at the great Whitney Houston, how she got her start. Where do you see women moving forward in the area of music?
Dr. Capitino, I see women taking over. Because if they haven't taken over already, because the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Well, ladies, I'm sure you enjoy hearing that. Oh, wow, wow. Well, are they going to maintain that trajectory with what we see happening now in music being cataloged, different groups are and musicians are selling out their catalogs? I mean, what is your opinion of that? How far can they go with what's happening now in the area of music, making the grade?
They can go as far as they have up to this point, because I believe even back then and the younger generation, behind every great man is a great woman. So the woman's presence has always been there.
Mm-hmm. And so we can certainly honor them as we have with their awards, Grammy Awards. And I've been noticing that too, Derek, over the last couple of years, maybe three, the women are getting more awards than the men. How is that happening? Grammy, Oscar, on down.
They're finally getting their recognition due. And there are more people in the entertainment industry that are women that are acknowledging that. They are empowering their brothers and they're empowering their sisters. But this is all long overdue. This is long overdue.
Well, is it also true that behind every musician is a bag of drugs? Now, I know that's kind of, you know, crazy to put it out there, but that's the new slogan on the street. Behind every musician is a bag of drugs. Is that true?
You know what? The way I see it, and we're not those type of musicians, everybody's under the influence of something. It don't necessarily have to be drugs. They could be under the influence of misinformation. The thing is, people got to get educated and find out what works and what doesn't. Drugs don't work. Alcohol doesn't work.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow, wow, wow. You know what? And I'm asking that because there was a 5-time Grammy winner, and he could almost outbeat Michael Jackson, and I think he got 3 or 4 awards on the same night. And they were saying how that within two or three weeks of this latest award, he had to be rushed to the hospital, heroin overdose. They found cocaine in him and all of that. And when he came to his senses, or, you know, when he was let out of the hospital, he was really taking the same ideology that you just said. Everybody's under the influence of something. You guys just happen to be under the influence of the great God Almighty. And
hallelujah.
Is your interest, yes, for getting out there and promising to make great things happen. Do you guys have any upcoming tours coming, any latest information you want to tell the audience?
Jay, let me start for a minute. Right now, our primary focus, because we are working with a shoestring budget right now, we want to figure out ways of putting our existing music out there to generate passive income, whether that be through radio and television commercials, sports networks, you know, playing our music behind BET commercials,
ESPN,
Fox Network. If we can just generate passive income, it will open up a lot of doors for us to perform. But right now, performing isn't our focus right now.
Right.
Generating passive income, we can perform as much as we like, but who can afford to? I'll tell you a story. We are preparing for a gig. That gig is like 4 months down the road. We have to use a certain amount of studio time, which we have to pay for. We have to hire musicians, which isn't cheap. By the time that gig comes and we make our money, we're in the hole.
You're in the hole.
So why is it such a hurry to get out there like that?
Well, well, you know what? And I've been reading through your materials, fantastic, what you've done, your background, those videos. And you guys, hey, you look nice. So that's also a plus. So what we want to do now is have you tell the listening audience, how do they reach you and Jesse James?
Okay.
You can reach us through just by Googling Jordan Wall Productions, or you can reach us directly through Dr. Marsha Ann Mims Carpentino.
You most certainly can. Derek Jordan, President and CEO of Jordan Walt Productions. Hey, listen, audience. These men, I know you've heard what they've had to say, and you know that they're for real. Cappuccino and Associates Consulting Group of Beverly Hills don't get involved with anyone that does not have at the core of their heart the reason for their being is to honor God through their work. That's who we are. You walk in, it says that. Take a seat and have a seat and wait your turn. So I want all of you to know that we will be working with these two gentlemen. Hey, Jesse James. Now, you can't come up there with a gun with some hanging on the side. But Jesse James wants to. They will keep it. The security will keep it on the first floor until you're finished with our work. But God bless you, gentlemen. This has been a fantastic interview. And hey, you guys, back by popular demand, we're going to have something really great for you before the coming week is out, something for you to hear from these two gentlemen. And as you know, we are with them from the start to the beginning as retained clients, and you will be hearing more from them. You will be seeing a lot of what they are doing. You heard them say they're not really interested in live performances, but you can certainly go to the movies and hear background tracks of whatever they're going to be doing and in other areas that we will be assisting them in. But in the meantime, is there any parting words that either one of you have for the budding musician and for women in music?
Never give up on your dreams.
And always be strong and defiant and know where you want to go and go there.
I'm going to do just that myself. And you, what you just said, you know, I was wrestling with something. Hey, I just got the answer. God bless you guys, and just know that we will be having you on again. And all those listening, you have the information, Cappuccino and Associates, already in your bin. That's how you were able to get on. Thank all of you for coming back for more from last week, and you will be certainly hearing and seeing the progress of Jesse James Wall and also Mr. Derek Jordan. Thank you guys, and thank all of you for listening
to
the Musician Show, and that is for this month, Master Musicians and the Women They Honor. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Thank you for tuning in.
All right. Okay.